an afternoon service and something to do in the afternoon. Thank the Lord for a good meal. Thank the Lord for the pleasure and the blessings of a good meal. And now maybe the Lord will help us to digest it with some of the Word and be encouraged in the Word today. If you get a little sleepy on us, just get up and walk around. Sister Bonnie was ministering yesterday evening. My knee, my leg got to hurting so bad I felt embarrassed, but I had to get up and go walk around the back of the chapel and come back. So if you get a little sleepy, your legs get a little crampy, we'll walk around and try not to be too long with us here today. Understanding is a wonderful thing to know, to be able to discern how life is and make good choices in life is a real blessing. People go to the extent of learning. They discipline themselves. They read textbooks. They apprentice themselves to craftsmen in order to learn, in order to be more proficient, in order to be able to have a skill, in order to be able to be literate. People have to submit. Thinking today about how good it is that you and me are able to know and to understand. But there's a capacity in man that we fall short of. In our flesh and in our humanity, we fall short of being able to discern the divine, being able to understand the holiness of God. Paul, I believe, wrote, he said, "Great is the mystery of godliness." It's a mystery to man how everything was. Sister Bonnie's message yesterday, that's a spiritually discerned message. It's not a message that you can put 2 and 2 equals 4 to, but it has dimensions that go beyond man's capacity. Would you help me out this morning, this afternoon? I want to ask you a question. We all know the answer to it. Jesus said that it, after the crucifixion, that it was expedient for them and for us that he go away. Now, why was it expedient for him, for us, that he go away? I'm sorry? Okay. He would send then, if he didn't go away, it was expedient that what would come to us, the Comforter. What's another terminology for the Comforter? What is one of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God? What is one of the offices that you can think of today of the Holy Spirit? Teacher. To what extent, brother, is he a teacher? All right. Another verse I'm thinking about. All truth. Now, the capacity to understand everything, Sister Lewis, do you have that in yourself? To understand all things? When you consider all things, how much is all things? When you consider wisdom, how much is all wisdom? Knowledge, how much is all knowledge? Can you put a gallon capacity on it or a tonnage on it? Could you put a capacity when he said it's expedient that I go away, because if I go not away, then the Comforter whom I will send in my name will not come? And he said of that Comforter and that Holy Spirit that he would have the capacity to lead us into all truth. And I would think by saying all truth, he left nothing that was not included. But everything that he had then would be revealed to us as we needed it. The very essence of truth would be an abiding presence in us. The very depth and the height, width and the breadth of the knowledge of God. He said the Spirit does what in Hebrews? Corinthians here. He searches all the things of God. Not just those shallow things that you may have learned as a child. Not that it's shallow in that respect. But he also searches the deep things of God. My little burden this afternoon is found in 1 Corinthians 2. Paul was obviously an effective teacher. But Paul did not seem to think that much of his own ability. In one place, he talked about himself maybe being, his speech was contemptible. Listen to what Paul said as he spoke about his own self and how he wanted himself to be viewed. And he said, "Brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring you the testimony of God." We want to be careful in our life. I believe an effective speaker is to the advantage of the work of God. I'm not at all degrading the effectiveness of someone being able to speak. But Paul, in essence, is saying that's not where the blessings are. That's not where the strength and that's not where the wisdom comes from. Through the course of history, men through evil speakers, men who had a dynamic personality or had a compelling presence, have been able to persuade the masses into all forms of evil. So we cannot conclude that being a good speaker, being able to move the crowd, is it of itself a good thing. So he said, "I didn't come to you with that hope or that desire or that ability, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." We've already heard in this meeting about the necessity of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Alpha, the Omega, that everything God is was in Jesus Christ. He was and is the fullness of the Godhead. And that's what Paul said his message was, his burden was. "I don't want to impart to you any of my wisdom, any of my knowledge, but I want to impart unto you what has been revealed to me by Jesus Christ. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Have you ever noticed one thing about the wisdom of men? It's changeable. Changeable even within a person's own lifetime. Man's understanding, he changes as he ages, as he matures. As a person experiences more, they add to and take away from what they thought. And a lot of times you read the early part of a man's writings, and it's dramatically different from the latter part of his writings in life, based on the flesh. But the Word of God, that vital force that gives life unto the world, that very real identity that changes profoundly for the better and for the good, is the unchanging Word of God, and it's forever settled in heaven. It was not spoken by man who changes. It was spoken by the divine who said, "I am the Lord, I change not." His Word is the eternal truth. And you and me come into this world relatively, if not totally, void of it. Men have worshipped all manner of things because someone has already told us there is a desire in man to worship something. So in ignorance, they worship the planets, they worship the sun, they worship mountains, they worship animals, the creatures, in their hunger to understand what they were to do. Men have cropped up down through the ages and had philosophies, and there's religions today that bear their names and have edifices made up of those people or those images of Buddha. And Buddha didn't even, the early teachings of Buddha were not meant to be from a god, but as it evolved, Buddha became to the mind of people a god, and etc. God, Paul is saying here, "I didn't come to you with that. I didn't come to you with man's wisdom, man's comprehension of how the mountains were formed, man's comprehension of what happens at death and after death. I didn't come here teaching man's wisdom of how to live better, stronger, longer, but I came to you with the Spirit and the Word of God. Today, that's what you and me must understand. If I want to please God, if I want to enjoy God, think about that for a moment. Would you like to enjoy God? Let's say we all do. Would you like to enjoy God better? I think it's good to enjoy God myself. He said our joy is to be full. It's something to be rich and thankful and effervescent about. Something that bubbles up, flows out, and gives life. Light? Delight, thank you. Yes, something that we can delight ourselves in. I believe God wants that. Lord, help us today then to understand to do that, we need to know Him. Not a surface relationship. Not a God of rules per se, and there are rules. Not a God of judgment and wrath, and He is that, but a God of life. A God who loves us, and a God who enjoys us, and a God who has eternal truths to impart to us, and a God that is not so foreign and estranged from man that only a few can know Him. But the Bible said that we all can know Him, from the least to the great, whatever that might mean. From that person that's just born again to that one that's seasoned in the Lord and walked with Him down through a generation. We can all know the Lord. And I know God wants us to know Him in a delightful way, pleasant way, a peaceful way, a way that makes me stronger, not in the sense of physical strength, but in your ability to resist the evil and the wrong. God wants us stronger to do good. God wants us stronger to love more. And He wants to teach us how to do that. Great is the mystery of being like God. Great is the mystery of having a life that was patterned after God. Great is the mystery of godliness. The attributes of God, the character of God. How can me and you, we, the mere mortals that we are, ever perceive the divine who placed the stars in place, who gave eternal truths and types and shadows for you and me to be schooled that when Christ should appear, the one that has been promised through the types and the shadows. He went on. Howbeit, he said, that we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. One thing about man's wisdom, it's subject to being disproved. It's subject to being changed because of circumstances. Ideologies can change wisdom. People's preferences can change wisdom. Wisdom that is of this world is subjective to the environment many times. So Paul is saying, I came to you not in excellency of speech and not in the wisdom of this world that is subject to coming to naught, not proving out, not being the benefit that we had hoped it would have been. I'm glad God is someone that not only, as Sister Bonnie said, delight ourselves in, but His truths do not come to naught. But still, the question is, how do I understand that? Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away. Jesus said that I'll send the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. And He said of the Holy Ghost, He's going to have this wonderful capacity. Now think of this, to lead you, me, us, into all truth. What an effectual, wonderful opportunity is presented to you today. I stand at the door, He said, and knock. If any man will open, I'll come in. What's up with him? Is it the same place or right in there somewhere? He said He opened that door and no man could shut that door. So the Lord has opened to every one of us today a beautiful, wonderful place, the place of the Holy Ghost, the place of the Holy Spirit, the place where the divine teacher, we can enter into Him or he can enter into us, howsoever you may want to look at it, and begin to unfold to us the mystery of godliness. God help that, help us to be excited about that. I enjoy talking to people in fields that I know little, if anything, about. I love to do that. I can ask them some of the dumbest questions and enjoy myself the most of anybody you've ever seen. Because I'm learning elementary things that they have learned when they were in, 101. But do you enjoy that? Have you ever, a stockbroker, a banker, a lawyer, I enjoy talking to doctors. It's fascinating to me. And like I say, I can ask some really, really, but it's enjoyable to me. Someone that's good at a craft. Someone that has an engineer. Whatever. It's fascinating to delve into what they know. And it doesn't bother me to be ignorant. I marvel at the excellency of the knowledge that men gain through experience and technical trades and all that. But one thing better than that is that I can inquire of heaven's throne. I can inquire of the divine. I can sit with him in heavenly places in his Son. I can be possessed or inhabited by this teacher. And if I will ask, if I will open myself up and admit my ignorance and not worry about how I look and say, Lord, what about this and that? And unfold your marvelous mysteries. He'll do that. That ought to be exciting. It is to me. Read scriptures and understand them. Find out what God had given to man, and I believe one place he said it had been hidden at one time. May the Lord help us to understand God has opened a door. This is graduation season, isn't it? I read that scripture 3:19 at a little graduation for my niece the other day. She said, Behold, I set before you an open door. God has set before us an open door. Let's go into it. Let's let it become in us. Said, where we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, 5th, 7th verse. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now again, Lord help me to understand. You see, God has all knowledge. God has all wisdom. God knows everything. He was there at the beginning, and he's going to be there at the end. He created it. I think it's amusing. I really think it's amusing to watch us. And maybe God has a sense of humor. That's speculation, I guess. But we're like sometimes ain't scurrying around to find a reason why. And here's the reason why. The Bible discloses to us how and when and where it all happened. And yet we, in our pride and our human wisdom, try to supersede how God did it and come up with another formula for how God created and how God gave life. But the wisdom was in God, with God, from God in the beginning. But here's something he said that is very important to me. That this hidden wisdom has been revealed through mysteries, and now through his Spirit we'll read. And God has ordained it before the world for our glory. For us to enjoy. For us to commune with. For us to be profited by. Never think of God as restrictive. Never think of God as someone that is trying to put you and me backward. But God is wanting us to grow and understand Him. So He revealed Himself to us various ways, but it's always for our glory, for our good, for our profit. The early ways God revealed Himself was for a benefit to mankind. The way He revealed Himself through Jesus Christ was to be to the glory of man, for the good of man. The way He reveals Himself with the Spirit today is meant to beautify us and glorify us. See, glory, you get glory when you do something outstanding. You don't get glory for walking a mile. You get glory for running a mile faster than anybody else, and then you get glory. God wants you and me to be glorified in this sense. We begin now to do something no other person has generations ago. Understand the deep mysteries of God. Understand that hidden mystery from the beginning of the world. And He's done that. He set before us an open door. And now He's saying, the tuition has been paid. The books have been paid. Room and board has been paid. Come, sit at my feet and learn. Enter into my classroom and allow me to teach you for your glory. And that which you will learn, He said He'd beautify the meek with salvation. He'd bring something beautiful where there was not. He would bring wisdom where there was ignorance. He'd bring strength through His Spirit and Word where there was weakness. Bravery and fortitude where there was fears and doubts. He would lift us up out of the miriness of the clay that has decayed with bacteria into the mountain of His holiness. That's glory, see. Bringing me out of the losers category into the winners category. He did that. He does that for us all. That's glory. That's a blessing. That's winning the trophy, the prize, the winning the race, fighting the good fight. God wants to teach us, and He will teach us exactly how to do that and delight in it. You know, when you win, you're happy. Now, I know we can stipulate some there if you win in the right way and et cetera. But when you win, you're happy. You don't ever see winners saying, oh, I wish you. No, winners are happy. They delight in it. Got a big smile on their face. The Lord wants us to have a smile on our face, a smile in our heart, a smile in our spirit. The Lord wants us to be, as the little song said, on the winning side. So He did all this for our good. Part of what I'm saying is He already possessed it. And He wanted to share it with us for our good. He already had the Word. He wanted to share the Word for our good. He already had the hidden mysteries figured out, because He was the hidden mystery. He wanted us to understand it for our good. See, I suppose God could have taken us to heaven any way He wanted to. I suppose He could have done that. But God chose to take us to heaven with Him, sharing. Not in ignorance and all of a sudden wake up one morning in heaven. God wanted us to know where we're going. God wanted us to know how to get there. God wanted us to smell the roses of His love all along the way. God wanted us to understand the truths that help us find that discipline of self right as we go along. God didn't enjoy having to wink at sin. He enjoys better giving us power over sin, where we don't have to anymore. You know, raising children, you sometimes pick hills you decide to die on. I don't know about you, but probably most parents kind of wink. Because if you don't wink, the wrath has to come down, and you're not so sure that's really the right place for the wrath to come down right then. God had mercy on us, and He winked. And I'm sure there are those in paradise today that he winked at. But he commands us now to repent. And I think before he could do that, he had to show us what it meant to repent, what it meant to live godly, holy, soberly, righteously in this present world. He does that through what we're reading about, his Spirit, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Seemed like Paul was giving them a little bit of leeway there. Surely they would have not been so bad, so corrupt, as to crucify Jesus had they have only known. Seemed like that's in part what Paul is saying. Ninth verse, but as it is written, I have not seen, no ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You see the folly of man's explanations of God. Man has tried to explain God in every form I suppose there is. He's tried to explain the workings of God through our own ignorance, through our own inability. You ever read scientific facts from, I've got a book at the house. I had a little boy at one time, he's a big boy now, big man. I had a little boy at one time, and his first words after he learned to talk real well was why. And he had asked you something about how did the gas pump. I remember one time we drove up the gas pump and he asked his mother about the gas pump. How did you get the gas out? And she said, well, it's the pump. Why? How? How does that work? Have you ever tried to explain how a gas pump and all that works to a four-year-old? You know? So we was in a store one day. She was, an old bookstore. And she found a book written back in the 1800s. And the name of it was The Reason Why. A couple of dollars, but if it could have been 20, she would have probably bought it. She said, that's that boy right there. And it was kind of an amusing thing among the family. The Reason Why. And I believe you could ask that book about anything. Sure enough, you'd find the reason why things work the way they did. Medical science, physical world, just anything. Well, it's amazing when you read it how many things that they, how the circulatory system worked, or the lungs, or just anything you can think of was in that book. How it worked. And you read it now, it's amazing how wrong they were. But it made sense to them. I think about it today, that's the way we are without the Spirit of God. It makes sense to this, but it makes no comparison to the divine. So I'm thinking, I don't want to go trouncing off in an arrow, building my house on sinking sand. God sure doesn't want that. So he revealed himself to us, the reason why. But it's based on the Word of God. And he said, those things haven't entered into your heart of themselves. And the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. I don't believe for a moment all the things that God hath prepared for us that love him is waiting for paradise or heaven. I believe God has got the beauties of salvation and the glory of salvation, the strengths and the powers salvation today, right here in this present world, that we might live to glorify him, that we might be a light unto the world, that we might be a salt to the earth for him, that our lives can actually truly reflect glory to God, that the fruit of our life would not go forth as he's a good man, she's a good woman. But something has transformed that person and their life shines resplendent not so much to their own goodness, but someone who has possessed them, occupied them, taken control and leadership in their life. This force, this power, Paul said, to the unknown God, to Him goes the glory and the honor from the fruits that the children of God bear. And He reveals that to us by His Spirit, how we might bear fruit and how that fruit should be displayed. Then the world may look on you and me and say, well, something's different about them with no comprehension of God Himself. But we can become then a light and a salt that testifies that God has something better than this world has to offer when it comes to wisdom, when it comes to disciplines of life, when it comes to hope, when it comes to true joy. And then hopefully that will ignite from them a question. And Paul said, it's Him I want to tell you about. It's not about me. It's not about Paul. It's not about what I'm doing or what others are doing. But it's about Him. That one that you, the world, may call, well, we don't know anything about Him. Let me tell you about Him. Let me tell you about Him. Because He's the one that these things you call fruits or blessings, they testify of Him. And He is glorified. And that you see is not me, for the life that I now live, Paul wrote, is the life of Christ. But God hath revealed these things, these prepared things. You want to know what God's prepared for you? We need the Spirit of God. We need the light of the world. We need Jesus Christ and the Comforter that He promised to send. Because listen to what He's saying. We can never devalue or undervalue the Spirit of God. We can't devalue or undervalue any of the Trinity. There's no way to place them lower. They're always the supreme and the highest. We cannot ever come to a place and say the Spirit is unnecessary. Do you want to be happy? We need the Spirit. Do you want to have wisdom? We need the Spirit. Do you want to open and go into this large room and this wealthy place? We need the Spirit. Do you want to know what's prepared for you? We need the Spirit. Today, we need the Spirit of God. Today, if I'm going to understand the divine and what my hopes are, what my possibilities and yours are, what the mission is, the direction, how to live godly and soberly and righteously, how to please God, we need the Spirit. How to live above a set of ordinances and commandments and serve God in the freedom and the liberty of the Spirit, we need the Spirit. He said, God hath revealed those wonderful, beautiful, pleasant, delightful things by His Spirit. For the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, if you will, the Comforter. He said, He searches, again this word all things, yea, the deep things of God. He carries us to dimensions that no man could ever know. No man could ever understand. If you're complacent, you may not see the need of the Holy Spirit. But if you're hungering after righteousness, if you're thirsting after more of God, there has to be a gnawing hunger in us. Lord, I need something more. I need something greater than head knowledge and Bible story knowledge. I need something better than the... And please, don't take this as a cast off on. But I need something more than the congregation of the saints. And I want to tell you, that's invaluable. Let's get that straight, okay? We need something, though, Lord, that in the dark times and when the death angel comes, When the worst thing happens that I feared would happen, happens, that my faith would not stand in man in any capacity. And I love you and I stand on your faith. Don't think for a moment I discount your trust in God as a support to me. I do, I will, and I shall. But there comes that place that the wisdom, the combined efficiency of all of God's people, I need Christ. I need the Holy Ghost. And I'm trying to be careful that I'm not discounting anything of the body of Christ. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things, the places that no man can go. Man has tried to reach the bottom of the ocean alive. To my knowledge, he hasn't done it, or he hasn't done it in any effective, efficient way. There are things that God does just not let us go to in ourselves. He said that no flesh should glory in Christ or in the cross. He's not going to give this glory to man. Charismatic radio and TV evangelists really don't pay them much mind, if any. Because they've got... Heard old Jimmy Swaggart one time, 30 years ago, said, "I know where hell is." He had figured out that hell was the core of the earth. That's what I thought, Brother Ed. Man's wisdom is going to figure out that when you die, if you and your wife have been good Mormons, you're going to be teleported somehow to an uninhabited planet, and you're going to be the god of that planet, and your wife is going to be the goddess, and I hope you enjoy having children when you get there, because you're going to populate that earth, that lady is. Now, that's kind of how our earth came to be. So God, at one time, was man. That's Mormonism. The Spirit of God dispels the lies of the flesh. Therefore, I need the Spirit of God. Because I can lie to myself, folks. Self-deception, I think, sometimes is the easiest form of deception. Because it caters to the flesh and the appetites. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God no man knows. Knoweth no man but the Spirit. The one thing, well, many things, one thing God has reserved for himself is knowledge. And if I'm going to gain knowledge of the divine, the only one that knows the divine is God himself. And he reveals himself through his Spirit. The Spirit is critical. The Spirit is essential. For now we have received not the spirit of the world, we already had that. But we've received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Another good reason to know the God of heaven and to have the Holy Ghost, to have the Spirit of God. Now, you mean that's mine? That's yours. All grace? That's yours. All things? That's yours. Forgiveness and mercy and love, that's yours. To understand the divine, that's yours. Freely given to us by God, and how does he reveal it? Through this mass of grace? No, but through the Holy Spirit. How do we discern the Word of God? 20th chapter of Revelations. I've struggled with that. But the Lord finally got it through. I understand it now. I confess, it was a... Brother Carver would teach it, and I'd just sit there and strain, and Brother Porter would teach it, even Brother Jim. I knew it was right, I could see it, but then I couldn't hold on to it. Finally, the Spirit revealed that to me. The 20th chapter of Revelations is a good example of confusion of the Scriptures in the world today and others. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no true knowledge of the Scriptures. The Scriptures bring to life the Word of God. It flashes it on the screen of our soul, our spirit, however you want to say it. God communicates via spirit to our spirit. He said that's one way we know we're the sons of God. The things that are freely given to us by the Spirit of God. That's how we understand it. Let's name it and claim it. And I read it in the Bible and form my own translation and my own interpretation. And I'm going to stand on it. It has no power, no credibility. It's nothing. Only as it is revealed to us. Which things we also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. No. Something better than that, folks. But which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. The Holy Ghost, the teacher, is essential. That's my little brief, simple, and I don't know how brief it is, simple message. Is that we need the Holy Spirit. He is the essence of all things that's hopeful. He is the essence of all things given. We don't understand the capacity of the saints, the capacity of salvation, without the help of the Holy Ghost. We can read the words and believe the words, and we ought to. But it's the Spirit that leaps them off of the page and plants them in our heart. And we understand now what He means, the deep things of God. But the natural man don't even think for a moment. He don't want the flesh to glory at all. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Have you ever wondered why the story of creation is debunked? Debunked, rather. It's foolishness to man. It's just absolute foolishness. You ever thought about the message of holiness? How can a sinful, carnal creature understand holiness when all they know is sin? Jesus said we must be born again. We then must understand that the things of God without the Spirit of God can and will become foolish to us. And I want to tell you something. They lose their power in us. They lose their power to transform us when they're foolishness. When they're unattainable. When they're a pipe dream or a high hope or I wish. They lose their capacity to actually change us and enlighten us and show us the way. Because, oh yes, they're glowing words and wonderful words, but they're foolishness. That's impossible. Man can't live without sin. A man, what do you mean, got a soul? And go? Doctors have said, well, I've cut open a lot of people and I've never found one in there. It's foolishness, see? It's foolishness. How essential is the Spirit? It's critical. It's vital. It's life. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, what are they? They are Spirit. They are life. It's critical. It's without it. Brother Carver taught this. That you can't stay saved without the Holy Ghost. I want to agree with you. You can get saved. Well, you don't even get saved without the Holy Ghost. Yes, we can become born again. But he taught if we were going to continue on and obtain the prize after the end of a productive life, we had to have the Holy Spirit. I believe he's right. I believe it's essential to our success. Essential to our understanding. Essential to the light and the understanding. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are learned from the Spirit of God. A communication between us and God. Spirit to spirit. God's Holy realm of heaven. I don't know the words to use here. God's eternal celestial place of dwelling, communicating to His Spirit embodied in us, manifesting and opening up the deep, wonderful, joyful things, delightful, I like that word, Sister Bonnie, delightful things of God. Only through, He's the transmitter, but we got to have the receiver. And without it, it's kind of like me going down the road. You ever thought about it? Especially with the advent of cell phones. How many words are passing through your body right now? Bring home the milk. Oh, Johnny broke his tooth. I got to rush him to the dentist. What time are you coming home this afternoon? All that is going through us all the time. You ever thought about that? I could be talking to Brother Gordon on the cell phone and he couldn't stand in the way of that communication, or someone couldn't stand between this pew or this pulpit. They're there everywhere. Radios, televisions, all the things of communication, they're passing through us. And we can't hear a word of it. I've heard of people who had feeling in their teeth to pick up sounds. I don't know whether that's true or not. Have you ever thought about the communications we miss? Thankfully, in this case, because we don't have a receiver. I'm glad we don't have a receiver like that on the inside. But folks, we've got to have the receiver of God on the inside. You know, they got proprietary things. And if you want to receive AT&T, same way with if you got Verizon or some of those others, you have to have their equipment. You got old radios had a variable condenser on it, they called it, and you could dial in. Oh, this is station so-and-so in Del Rio, Texas. But you had to have the right receiver and the right equipment to do that. God wants to give you His Spirit. The words are there. The truths are there. The light is there. All the promises are there. The everything that pertains to life and godliness is there. God now, Jesus breathed on them and He said, receive ye the Spirit. God then says, it's expedient that my Son goes away. Because if He won't go away, the receiver won't come. The vehicle by which you're going to receive of me the deep things, the essential things, the beautiful, delightful things, you'll miss them. And then all the word and the preachers preaching it, get one you like, folks, it doesn't matter then. But oh, when we have the Spirit, He'll lead us into all truth. And that truth will dispel error and illuminate right. They're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges or discerns, understands all things. I don't believe for any length of time whatsoever you can hoodwink a spirit-filled person. Now, you may send that spirit-filled person to their closet to do some praying and searching. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, but others, and I'm not saying exactly right, they will not follow. You may get the saints to thinking, I haven't heard that one before. It sounds good, but wait a minute, let me pray. Let me think about it, and let me discern some things about it, and the Spirit will enlighten us at that point. I believe that. So you may temporarily get the saints or a saint scratching its head. Now, how am I going to answer that one? But you're not going to lead the saints, a spirit-filled person, off into error, into the devils of this world. Because Jesus said, the children will not follow them. We do that because He gives us His Spirit. He gives us something on the inside greater than the gray matter up here. Greater than the charisma of someone's glib tongue. Paul, you know, maybe he stuttered. Now, I don't even know that. Maybe he stuttered. I have a feeling he knew proper grammar because he was an educated man. But he may have stuttered. He may have said, oh, I don't know. But he said, that's not the point. I'm not trying to get you with enticing words and build you up and flatter you. No. I want to talk to you from the Spirit of God. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? The answer is nobody. Job, you've had this controversy with me, you and your friends, and I'm not making fun of Job. But he came down to it after about the end of the book there. God said, well, I'm going to talk to Job now. And he said, Job, where were you? And Job had to figure out, well, I wasn't there. And it's all worked pretty good without me. So he finally kind of got the duck in and holding his hand over his mouth. Today, may the Lord help us to see the beauty, the glory of the Spirit of God. You know, we want to be glorified. We want to be beautified in this world. We do that by receiving the promise of the Father, the Holy Ghost of God. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen.